Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. We're delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know that we would certainly love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And a blessed Lent to you in this fifth week of Lent. Ready or not, it is here. And I pray that you're having a blessed Lent. So we're thrilled to be welcoming on our show today, Katrin Bennett. Now, Katrin is an author, blogger, and homeschooling Catholic mama who believes that holy marriages can re-stabilize our society. She is a monthly contributor to CatholicMom.com, and she lives in Southern Maryland and with her husband, Chris, and their three young children. So today, she's here to talk about a great book that we highly recommend that the church needs, Holier Matrimony, Married Saints, Catholic Vows, and Sacramental Grace. You could go out to her website, HolierMatrimony.com, a book that has come for a time such as this.
Absolutely.
When you think of all of the divorces in, not just in the culture, I mean, in the church. And so I believe that the church is the answer to fixing and healing all the ills of our culture. We can't look to the culture to solve the problems in the church. It has to be the church that has to be light and salt and make a difference in the culture.
Yeah.
And this book is certainly empowering to
do that.
Love the
book. Fantastic. She goes right to the roots. She starts it all off with the Catholic marital vows.
Mm-hmm.
Do we even know our vows? Do we prepare people to understand the vows? She goes right through them with her name, her husband's name in it. She talks about these vows being done fully, faithfully, fruitfully, until death do you part, freely. And just fantastic. Then she unpacks this. Well, she'll talk about the whole book. I love the book. I've said for a long time, some people only have like a week or two of premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
They said, what do you think we should be doing? Go over your marital vows, understand them, let them be unpacked, and then understand the power that God wants to give you in the sacrament to fulfill these vows.
Excellent.
So she's going to unpack that for us today. So it's going to be a wonderful show, powerful show that can, again, restabilize society, because marriage is the foundation that we build on in the church and in civilization. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and today our guest is Katrin Bennett. Now, she is the author of Holier Matrimony. We want you to go out to her website, holiermatrimony.com. Well, Katrin, we are so excited to have you today. We loved your book. I love the cover of your book. I love the content, and I love that one so young as you thought it was important to be written. So thank you for doing that.
First,
we want you to tell our family a little bit about your beautiful self, and then tell us what inspired you to write this book.
Sure. So I've been married for 9 years next week to my wonderful husband, Chris. We have three children, a girl and then two boys that are 8, 6, and 4, and I homeschool them. So that's always exciting, never a dull moment. Before that, I was a classroom teacher. But the book kind of came out of left field. I've never been a writer really before, but I got really interested in the lives of the saints and realized there weren't a lot of saints people knew that were married. And that's my vocation, that's your vocation. Mm-hmm. Most people in the church, that's our vocation. And yet, most of the more famous saints, at least, are not married people. So I wanted to learn more about them, and that research became the book eventually.
Well, you know, they tell us that the saints are like lampposts on the side of our journey, right? On the road that we're on. So we could look to them to get assistance to get encouragement to say, wait a minute, you were just a normal married couple. Right. You were just a normal human being, and you became a saint. And so I need you to pray for me. I need you to be my prayer partner in heaven. But I also need to look and understand your life to be encouraged to live my life so that I can endure to the end, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us about the married saints. How come there's so few married saints that we know of?
Right, that we know of. So I believe there are hopefully millions and millions of people who were married while they were on earth and are now in heaven. And that's all it is to be a saint, is that you're in heaven now and you're dead. You have to be dead to be a saint. But we haven't canonized that many of them on earth, largely because marriage is more of an internal vocation, that not as many people are gonna see your exceptional holiness and virtue from the outside, because you're living that out with your spouse and your children within the four walls of your house. And you don't have a religious order like the Franciscans who can campaign for your canonization. So that's the main reason. But the church has really been trying to fill that void recently and try to move more people through the canonization process that were married.
Who are some of the key saints that have been made in like recent times, couples? You mentioned one couple that they were the first to be beatified and the first as a couple to be sainted.
Right. In my book, I have the Quattrochis were the first to be beatified.
How do you say it?
Quattrochi. I think. Okay. I'm not Italian. I think that's right. And then the first couple to be fully canonized was Louis and Zélie, the parents of St. Thérèse.
Yes.
So those are both fairly recent.
And then a lot of women started naming their daughter Zélie. That became like a really popular name.
Yes.
Right? Which was a good thing, because, you know, you want a namesake, and if your daughter is called to a holy marriage, that would be a good prayer partner, a good connection for you.
I have an Ellie, not quite Zélie, but.
So you speak about the saints as if they're your friends, or should be friends with other people. They're not just somebody chronologically that lived at this particular time. Although in your book, you deal with these couples, you share their biographies individually and their lives, the joys, the sorrows, the hardships. And then you attribute to them, or maybe they manifested, various aspects of marriage and of the covenant. Freely, faithfully, fully,
fruitfully.
Got it. The four F's. And for better or worse, richer or poor, sickness and health, to love and to cherish, till we're parted by death.
That's all.
That's permanence.
Right.
Permanence, no matter what. So speak to us about friendship with the saints and what that means, the communion of saints in reality in terms of relationship, and what that can mean to people if they move in that way.
Right, yeah. I got more into my faith kind of in college and just after college. And a big part of that was getting to befriend some of the saints. And it can be hard when you're starting off, mostly looking at like the Holy Family. They're perfect, so it's hard to see them as real people that you could live that way. But when you read biographies of saints, you start to see them more as people, and you kind of take them off that pedestal a little bit, which is important because you see them as a real person, and you say, they did it, maybe I can do it too. I can live like that too. And they can be praying for you from heaven, and their prayers are very powerful. I've definitely experienced that. So that friendship is even more valuable than just the regular friendship on earth with a living person.
Yeah. It's been a joy. I guess we just continue to evolve in understanding our faith and deepening of faith, and to really believe in the communion of saints. And we seem to be praying more, you know, in our prayers, our daily prayers. You know, about Our Lady and Saint Joseph, and really being united with them, chief among, you know, all saints. And then we pray for the prophets and the martyrs and all the angels. And we really do believe that, you know, we just say, Lord, teach us more how to walk in communion, that there are more who are for us than against us, because it feels the opposite way.
Yeah, it can.
And then these people, you know, you do their biographies, and you do share warts and all, there's no doubt about that. And you share about the converting power of the Lord in their lives, or you speak about the faithfulness of a spouse. Seems to be more faithful women than the guys, actually. And how they just, you know, persevere, and the beauty of that. And these people are alive, they're not dead.
Right. That's one thing I love about being Catholic, is death is no impediment. You know, we're all in the same body of Christ, whether we're alive or dead. We're just different parts of the church, you know, the church militant and the church triumphant, and we're connected still. So funerals are not so tragic. Death is not the end.
When you and Chris were married, did you completely understand all of those beautiful marital vows that you took?
No, I don't think I'll ever completely understand them, but that's a really cool thing that you can keep learning more and more and be able to live those out more and more as you understand them better. So just like any job that's interesting, you have more to learn and ways to improve yourself every day.
Right. You know, I heard a joke. It's a crazy joke, but I'm going to
tell it.
Tell
a joke?
I'm going to tell a joke. There was a little boy, and he was to a wedding, and he said, well, how many times can you get married? And he said, 16 times. And he said, 16 times, why? And he said, 4 for better, 4 for worse,
aww,
4 for richer, 4 for poorer. Right? But we say that, right? For better, for richer, for, you know? We say that, but then we have, you know, the day of the wedding, we're so caught in not even the ceremony, probably, and the beauty and the richness of that, but more in the reception, the party, the coming, and every bride that I've ever met is completely exhausted come wedding day.
Right.
And we've been to a bunch of weddings, and you kind of, you're not even hearing what you're saying, you know? So to have this book, I think, to give to an engaged couple, to what a great gift to say, completely understand. You know, you have the ability, right? But then for the rest of your beauty of the journey of your marriage, you'll have opportunities. You know, when we renewed our wedding vows 40 years in, 30 years in, and every year we renew our wedding vows because God and you alone know what you've experienced during that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have been hardships and trials and tribulations and joys and sorrows, and that's life.
It might have been the for better, or it might have been the for worse.
Probably
some of both.
Right, and maybe there were times in the for better and the for worse where you're thinking, I'm done, right? And now we have no fault divorce, and it's kind of like, no, we're not done. We can't be done. We're in this to the end, and we have to endure to the end. And I know people that have endured in some marriages people who are married to alcoholics, people who are married to unfaithful spouses, people, I mean, there is some suffering that people endure.
She's got them in the book.
Right.
At the
right?
end, I throw in St. Rita, who's patroness of the impossible, just so if anybody gets to the end of the book and says, I didn't identify with anybody in this book because my marriage is just tough.
Right.
The church has not forgotten about you. The church loves you, and you can still get to heaven by virtue of your marriage.
Right. I bet you that there are a number of couples that have said to one, to the other one, you know, you're impossible.
Right.
You are impossible.
Yeah.
And somebody said, there's a saint for that. Mm-hmm. There really is a saint for that.
Yeah.
Right?
There's two. St. Jude also.
Right, St. Jude. There
but
you
he
go.
Wasn't married.
Uh-huh. But that's the beauty where you can grab on and say to St. Rita, I need you to pray. I cried out to St. Rita. I had a personal person I was praying for in my life, and when a miracle happened in her life at the end.
Wow.
And so we have to expect that. We have to believe that we're hitching up, right? We're connecting to a saint who's gone before us to say, I'm going to help you get through when you think it is the dark night of your soul and the light isn't going to come and there is no new day dawning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, with the sacraments, with confession, with your journey, and we say this all the time, we're making each other holy. Jim is making me holy, and I'm making him holy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's really painful.
It sure is, and frustrating,
right?
And humbling.
It's like, why don't you get this?
Yeah.
You know?
Who's your go-to couple, maybe in this book or?
Well, she was just talking about, when we think of Saint or Blessed Barbacari, that she is my saint for loving fully. And you were talking about, you know, everything feels like it's falling apart right now. That's her life reminds me that when it would be easier to walk away, it seems like his problems are my problems and his fears are my fears and vice versa. So I can't unhinge myself from that. I can't unyoke myself from that. I walk with him through those trials and help support him through
those. Well, you've got a beautiful image of her. Obviously, she's a sister. But tell us about her marriage. She was married for a considerable amount of time, mm-hmm. children. What was going on in that marriage?
Right. Her husband, he was a good man, but he got into a lot of political issues and debt, and eventually was taken to basically be imprisoned.
Wow.
And so she, as a woman in, I think, many hundreds of years ago, so not when women would have been heard very much, and the woman of a disgraced man also had to go to court and plead for her husband and get him out of jail and bring their family back together. And she did it when it could have been easier, and her family wanted her to just kind of cut herself mm-hmm. free from all of his issues, and mm-hmm. she didn't.
Right. And I think that's where, you know, you have family, so you have all these voices in your ear. Oh, because they don't want you to suffer anymore, right? They're like, enough with him already, or enough with her already. You know, she is never going to change. She's never going to stop drinking.
Right.
He's never going to stop gambling. Or whatever the issues are, he's never going to give up pornography. He's never going to give up his womanizing, or she's never going to give up her unfaithfulness. However, the ills of that we are.
Right.
You know, we have to live heroically, but it's like, where are we going to get that courage from? We don't possess that love.
No.
Right? And so we have to go to Jesus alone, who then could feed our souls and give us the nutrition, the fortification that we need to do that, and then the saints to come up alongside of us and say, what did I say? I said I was going to be faithful to the end. Oh, God, help me, right?
Yeah. Right.
So with Akari, you usually tag them with something that's manifest. They give themselves freely, faithfully, fully, or fruitfully. And so these are tagged on particular saints that manifested that. And with her, you put fully.
Right.
Open up for us. We just have a couple of minutes before we break. What do you mean by fully?
For her, that it wasn't mm-hmm. just his good parts that she was married to. It was his debt also, and his political issues, and any wrong decisions that he might have made, those were hers to carry also.
So you can't take just a part of somebody, you're going to take the full thing, mm-hmm. even
right.
if there's things that
but
you
need to
correct.
But that's what our hearts were made for, was to give ourselves fully and then to be received fully by the other person. And anything short of that is not real, and it's painful to mm-hmm. be loved not fully and to love not fully.
Right. Where your joys become my joys and your sorrows become my sorrows.
Right.
And I love what you love. And then your people become my people, and that's sometimes where we really get into trouble mm-hmm. with in-laws and mother-in-laws, and all those get so complicated. And all Jesus wants you to do is be nice, and that's hard to do sometimes
God's
help.
We're going to take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment. The book, again, is Holier Matrimony. Would you like your marriage to be holier? Engaged couples, you want to learn about holy matrimony? Married saints, Catholic vows, and sacramental grace. There's the combination. Mm. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Go to EW10RC.com and get the book. Strongly recommend it. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Wrapping up our conversation with Katrin Bennett in her wonderful book, Holier Matrimony, Married Saints, Catholic Vows, Sacramental Grace. Katrin, why don't you share with us, you have numerous couples in here that are just absolutely fascinating. Some people will know them right away, others we won't. Share with us a more like current couple in terms of history. You got a couple here from Rwanda. Share with us about them. I found them fascinating.
Right. Their names are Cyprian and Daphrose Rugamba, and they were killed in the genocide in Rwanda in 1994, so not long ago at all. They were actually killed on the very first morning of the genocide because they were really high up on the hit list because they had worked for peace between the races in Rwanda at a time when that was not acceptable by the government. But before that, I put them in my book as the in sickness and in health couple because Cyprian, the man, had been very ill physically, but also spiritually at the same time, that he was very angry that his wife, Daphrose, was a faithful Catholic. And he was miraculously cured in both spiritual ways and physical ways at the same time. And then they were finally able to really work as a team to bring Jesus to people and try to bring peace to their country when it was most needed.
Yeah, he really lost faith at some point.
Yeah.
Thought maybe God didn't even exist,
right.
And it really got very violent and almost demonic, mm-hmm. in terms of his treatment. Share with us a little bit about the abuse that was there and how that, you know, was transformed.
Right. I remember that at one point, I think Daphrose was giving birth to one of their children, and in the room she had a crucifix, and he broke it in half because he was angry that it was in there. But she continued bringing, they had nine children together, and then he had one child out of wedlock that she adopted, and she brought all 10 of those kids with her to Mass every week, even without him there to support at all, until he had that miraculous conversion experience, and then he realized what he'd been missing out on, and he tried to make up for lost time. They don't really do a lot of physical affection in Rwanda, but he wanted to hold her hand all the time after that because he said, I have to make up for the lost time with this wonderful woman. Yeah.
And to have such a beautiful witness before the people. Mm-hmm. And then they got involved with the Emmanuel community, mm-hmm. and they really took on children, right. because there was so much hatred in the land, which was just pure evil. Mm-hmm. And they were really trying to reconcile, not just reconcile as a husband and wife, but reconcile the people from the community. Some of them were orphaned, and they needed to have a visible witness of love.
Yes, you know? They did.
Share with us about their death and their children, a number of their children.
Yes, we know a lot of detail about it because one of their children who the people thought they had killed actually survived the attack. So he was able to describe everything that happened. And I was able to speak personally with one of their friends, Jean-Luc, who they were calling several times that morning, mm-hmm. saying, we're hearing gunshots outside. And then he called again later, and they didn't answer the phone because they had all died. But the two of them and several of their children were all shot out in their garden.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kadrian, we're so glad that you're with us on At Home with Jim and Joy. We thank God we have you tomorrow, because we're just scratching the surface with this wonderful book. It's Holier Matrimony, Married Saints, some you've heard of, some you've not heard of at all, Catholic Vows, and unpacking those vows there freely, faithfully, fully, fruitfully, and permanence. And the power to fulfill, as she says, your job description. If you don't know your job description, you don't know what's going on. Your marital vows are your job description, and God will give you the power. God pays for what he orders. He'll give you the power of the sacrament to fulfill your vows, the power of a holy covenant, that you won't break the covenant with your spouse. So God bless you. Keep it on EWTN. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.